Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
As we inch towards the return of sports, and I'm receiving a text, though, and Chris, I don't know if you know about this either. We have one of the three members of the show is going to be a big TV star at some point in the next couple hours. Did you know about this, Chris?
I did not know about it, but I'm pretty sure that would be one Rick DiPietro to chime in on the proposal from Gary Bettman in the NHL about their return to play.
Rick, why don't you hop in and enlighten all of us? Is this what's happening?
Yeah, it is in fact me, and I can promise you one thing. It probably took me longer, not probably, it 100% took me longer to shave than I will actually be on SportsCenter this afternoon at noon.
So you're gonna excuse yourself from this show for a few minutes, right? I mean, granted, the noon is the big hour, the power hour, but you're gonna excuse yourself. You're gonna go to your, I guess they do it on Zoom, right? Is how they have to do it?
No, we're actually doing it on FaceTime.
Oh, on FaceTime.
Which should be interesting, yeah.
All right. So
you're from Long Island, Dave. You understand the Wi-Fi / cell service in the area is not great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's touch and go.
Yeah, touch and go is...
So right off, so you're leading the noon hour on SportsCenter with a live hit into the home of one Rick DiPietro to analyze where we are with the NHL.
Yeah, I think it's like 12:05-ish. Now, here's the question. Do I do this from, like, where I probably should do it, like, which is kind of, I mean, more Cassie's office than my office?
Well, what looks
or should
that?
Here's the question, though. Do I try to look better, or do I try to look funny? Do I do it from maybe like the bathtub? Like, where should I do this thing from?
I think the bathtub. Yeah.
From the bath?
Did you say the bathtub?
Yeah, like a nice little bubble. I haven't seen anyone do it from the bubble bath yet. Like, what about a nice little, like a luxurious bubble bath?
How great would it be, Chris, if we tune into SportsCenter at noon and you have just the head of Rick DiPietro popping out of the bath and bubbles are surrounding and he's breaking down the NHL?
Dave, that would be an unforgettable moment in not just sports television, but television, period.
It would. It would be MASH finale, Cheers finale, American Idol finale.
I mean, we're talking about having him on World News Tonight with David Muir.
Yeah. They'd probably
How big that could be.
Right. Pandemic be damned, right? We have a man whose head is popping out of a bubble bath live on national television.
That would be the last segment of the nightly news, America Strong. Rick DiPietro talking about a return to hockey and doing it from his bathtub.
Yes. Awful announcing's going to pick it up. Probably be the homepage of ESPN.com. The Last Dance would be secondary in conjunction with this. Yeah, I think you should do it. Bubble bath.
Yeah, but it reminds me of the...
You've swayed me, Dave. I think we should go bubble bath, too.
Bubble bath.
Yeah. All in.
You can try it once. I think that'd be the first and only time you'd ever see me in the bathtub, and probably the last time you'd ever see me on SportsCenter, though.
I don't know that that's true, because I think it would garner groundswell support, and I think people would fall in love with it, and I think it would be a big deal. Because, let's be honest.
I think people would tune in. Dave, people would tune in to see where Rick DiPietro does his next hit
SportsCenter. What was that old show?
It was a
kid show. Rick, you probably know. Where in the world is Carmen Santiago?
San Diego.
That's what it'd be like for you. It would be like, where is Rick in his bath? Is Rick in the sauna? Is Rick in the jacuzzi? Is Rick in the pool? Like, where is Rick going to do his next hit
like,
from on SportsCenter?
It's like, where's Waldo? It's where's Ricky?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 100%. Yes.
You guys going to talk to San Diego.
You know what's going to happen is you're going to talk me into this.
Well, I think it's a great idea.
I have it all set up.
The more we talk about it, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
Because how many people on SportsCenter
do you see? Don't be like everybody else.
How many people on SportsCenter do you see, and they pop on, and you're like, all right, you know, interesting things to say, and 5 minutes later, you forget anything about it. This would be etched in people's memory if you did it from a bubble bath.
Yeah, you're probably right. But again, I mean, I suggested, you know, what do you think about the mustache? And I got, well, we can ask. So, I mean, if the mustache was a question and I had to shave that off, I'm not sure how me in a bubble bath is going to necessarily
Here's how I set the scene.
Rick, you've never really cared about being a guy that submits to authority. Fly in the face of the powers that be, man. Do your own thing.
Spit in the face of it. Here's what'd be great.
Listen.
They have the camera there over an empty bubble bath, and your head just erupts from the bubble bath, and you shake it to get the bubbles off your forehead. You're like, oh, good morning. And then you get right into it.
Yeah, he just got done cleansing himself in the waters of Lake Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to talk me into it. That's what's going to happen here. And I'm going to get in trouble. But hey, listen, if it helps the show, of course, I'll consider it.
Santiago's somewhat the voice of reason, right? I mean, if Chris and I, you don't believe in us. Santiago, you would agree? Out of the bubble bath, the head of one Rick DiPietro?
Not sure. Go for it.
Yeah, see? We're all in agreement.
Be entertained.
I can't.
I think we should carry it live on the radio show, Dave.
Oh,
we should carry the hit live.
I think we should. Santiago, that's something we can do, right? Carry it live?
You want to stream it?
Well, yeah.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. What host will you be working with? Randy Scott?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't been told. I'm waiting for the email. I haven't gotten an email yet.
Oh, this is going to be terrific.
It would line up better because I have a relationship with Matt and Elle.
Uh-huh.
That would probably be the best case scenario, but I mean, again, it's going to all depend.
Oh, so good. It'd be so good. All right. This has me more excited than the return of the NHL. I mean, this is just really, I couldn't be more excited about 12 o'clock today. I don't know. Chris, I don't know how you and I are going to keep our composure talking sports as he's doing his live hit on SportsCenter. We hope, we pray that the bubble bath is involved.
What if I pop out of the bubble bath?
Host.
How about this? What if I pop out of the bubble bath with a suit jacket and tie on?
Yes, it has to be that. But that's what it has to be. I just assume that you would have the suit jacket and tie on.
Now we're talking. Now this could possibly happen.
And just straight face. They ask you a question. You're like, well, Al, here's what I'm thinking. And you like wipe off bubbles off your left shoulder. Oh.
What about with some goggles on and I just lift the goggles up?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah. That'll be so good. All right. Oh, boy, that's really exciting to think about this happening at 12 o'clock today. All right. 800-919-3776. We have Mike Tenenbaum, so we'll get into the Jamal Adams story with him right in the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But, guys, we talked about it yesterday. There were conference calls all over the place. Let's start with the good. NHL, the commissioner addressed things yesterday at 4:30. It's what we thought. Now, we don't have an exact time frame. We'll find that out soon, but it's what we thought. Five teams are going to get the buys. 16 teams. Is it five teams? No, eight teams will get the buys, right? And then the remaining 16 teams are going to play to move on to that second round of the postseason. It sounds like we're heading down this road, and it looks like hockey might be the first sport to return.
Well, it depends. I mean, the time frame, we're still not – I mean, they won't start training camps till at the earliest July 1st. So, I mean, July 1st is when they'll start training camps. They'll bring everybody in. Guys are having voluntary workouts now. You know, six players at the facility, be able to work out, no contact drills. I think that was, I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. The clip of Kaapo Kakko in Georgie, that was a new clip, right? Georgie taking shots?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Yep. So you'll see stuff like that. A lot of guys haven't skated. I mean, you're talking about, I think James Van Riemsdyk said he hasn't skated in 10 weeks, which is the case for most of these guys. So trying to get your legs back, your lungs back. You'll have the 3 week training camp. I mean, listen, Dave, fingers crossed. This thing keeps moving in the right direction. Got to figure out where the hub city is going to be. Of course, they would like two locations, right? Yeah, it looks like Vegas is probably going to be one of those cities, and they'd like to have one of those cities. Seems like Chicago should be one.
Chicago should be one, right?
Well, they want one in Canada. They want a Canadian city because it's cheap. The Canadian dollar is cheaper than the American dollar right now, so it would cost them less to put the games on. But they're just waiting for. They're trying to work with Canadian authorities to make sure that if they can make that a possibility, they don't have the 14-day quarantine once they get up there, so they can get their players up there and not have to shut it down for 2 weeks before they can restart. But I know there's a couple teams. Tampa voted against it in Carolina. You know, Carolina, obviously, because they have to play the Rangers, and they're 0-4 against the Rangers. But, I mean, this is going to be exciting, dude. I'm telling you right now, you got the guys I've talked to are chomping at the bit. They're all in good shape. They've been working out. I mean, you're going to see it might take a couple games to kind of get your timing and everything back, but you're going to see fully rested, for the most part, fully healthy teams battling it out in meaningful games from day one. Dude, I can't even tell you how excited I am for this.
I like the formatting of it, though, Rico. I mean, you're giving teams that were on the fringe of being in the playoffs the opportunity to actually play their way in with that qualifying round, that best of five series. I think that's pretty cool. And then having the top seeds in the two conferences be able to battle it out to see who gets that number one overall seeding. I think those are those are interesting innovations by Gary Bettman, and it seems like it has the approval of the NHLPA. So I think they're trying to find a path forward where everybody can agree on something that's fair in terms of teams being able to vie for playoff spots, which is in contrast to what we've heard from Damian Lillard and his Portland Trailblazers about wanting to have a real opportunity to get into the postseason, not just finish off the regular season with some flugazi schedule, with not actually having a chance to get into the tournament. So I like that hockey is taking that approach and actually giving teams the chance to get in with that qualifying round. I think that's cool. And that gives you more content to be able to sell to the television companies as well, because you got to be able to make up some of the regular season games that you missed with some of your national television partners. And I think that gives you the ability to be able to do that. Rather than having 16 teams in, you actually have 24 teams. So you're going to have that many more games.
And look how starved we are for sports. I mean, we are starving for it. You put on a documentary about Michael Jordan, and it's, you know, constant conversation, sports talk radio, and the numbers are through the roof. We led the show yesterday with Lance Armstrong documentary. We discussed it at length yesterday, a charity golf event between two guys who don't even play golf and two guys who are some of the greatest in the world. If the NHL comes back and comes back first, I can't, I'm excited because I love hockey. I can't imagine what kind of numbers, what kind of conversation. I mean, we'd lead the show. That would be it. There would be no more, oh, I can't believe you guys are talking hockey to lead the show. It would be Rangers, Islanders. That would be it. That would be the conversation for the bulk of the show. I mean, Rick, hockey has a real chance, and I get it. You don't want to capitalize in a bad situation, but they have a real chance to push this sport forward if they come back, and they come back first.
Yeah, but more importantly, Dave, you love hockey. But, I mean, even if you're just a fringe hockey fan, like, you're just a sports fan in general. So I know you love the Rangers, you love hockey. So we already have you. If you just like hockey, but you're not that into it, not only are you getting hockey, you're getting playoff hockey. And a lot of
Which
people make
the
argument
best,
there's
yes.
no better, exactly right. There's no better playoffs than NHL playoffs. So, I mean, it's a rare opportunity too with no summer games and their partnership with NBC. So you're going to get a chance to, you know, put this on national television. You have to be searching around. I mean, you know, how frustrated would you get when you're searching around trying to find where the NHL game is? Is it on CNBC?
How many times have you had that?
I've
had that a million times. I know the channels well, and I'm a hockey guy. And I can't tell you how many times, like, oh God, I can't find Edmonton, Calgary. What channel is this game on tonight?
Yeah, it's painful. I mean, it's like you have to go out of your way. So, I mean, how many people, unless you're, you know, a true hockey fan, are going to start, you know, trying to Google where the hell you're going to find these things? So now you have the opportunity to put it in front of, you know, the maximum amount of eyes, and hopefully you start to, you know, get those fringe fans or those people that really aren't interested in hockey to become hockey fans, and you start gaining a bigger fan base now because of this.
Yep. All right. Here's the commissioner. Santi, let's play this. Rolling out the NHL, the full plan in place to roll out the NHL return.
We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall.
So there you have it. I mean, that's the plan.
Well, here's what I love. Yeah, but here's what I love. And we'll see. I mean, I heard Gary yesterday talk about, you know, what they do after the play-ins. Do they bracket? Sounds like the players want to reseed, which I think makes the most sense. They should reseed. I've been saying that all along. To actually give you a true advantage. You know, if you're going to play a round robin between the top four teams, I mean, you're playing for seeding. So it should benefit you if you do the best in that round robin. So if, you know, for example, you know, a 12 beats a 5 and I won the round robin, so I have the number one seed, I should play the 12 seed. You know what I'm saying? Like, there should be a distinct advantage going into the first round of the playoffs. What I love about the NHL, and I was sitting there thinking about it this morning, is we're not necessarily known as the most progressive of the four major sports. That usually ends up being, you know, the NBA and Adam Silver. I love the fact that they've almost approached this thing backwards. where their focus has been, because you're at the mercy right now of the virus, right? Like, you have no idea state to state when everything's going to open up, how it's going to look day to day, week to week. But what they focused on is, how can we get all 82 games in next season and start as late as possible? Because I think the most valuable thing you can do for all these leagues now is buy time. And it sounds like they found a way to have next season start as late as January 1st and still fit in the 82 games and give yourself maximum opportunity to have fans in seats, which I love.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to be able to recover some of the money that they're losing this year. And even if you can't recover it, I mean, the players are going to have to make some concessions with the escrow, but everybody's going to be looking to bounce back financially in the 2020-2021 season, and being able to get all 82 games in and potentially having fans in the arenas, that's going to go a long ways to doing that. So that absolutely makes sense. The part of the proposal that I actually like is the ramp-up time. Like, we've spent so much time talking about the logistics and bubble cities and making sure you keep the athletes safe from the standpoint of not transmitting COVID-19 to one another. But we also have to talk about getting these athletes acclimated to being able to play, being back on the ice and getting ready to play with the kind of intensity that you're going to need when it comes to playoff hockey. And so I think the timeline that Gary Bettman outlined yesterday, you know, having those official training camps in early July, I think that lays out perfectly in terms of giving guys that 6 to 8 week acclimation period so they can get their bodies in the shape that it's going to take in order to put the very best product on the ice. So, you know, I think that hockey is on its way to being able to knock it out of the park. They have a clear plan, and it seems like they have the cooperation of the players. And it's a plan that actually makes sense when you factor all of those things, all of the necessary concerns into it. So I like the direction that this is going, and it feels like they're going to be one of the first team sports to return.
Now, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong. It would be Eastern Conference would be in one location and Western Conference would be in the other location, right?
Correct. Correct. And then they're also open to, I mean, in the big word that he's throwing around is flexibility. They're also open to the possibility that as we move further along, you know, get further along in this process, if there is the ability to have, let's say, for example, you know, the two teams playing in the Stanley Cup move back into their own home arenas, they would consider that.
Which is
smart. If you can have fans, which is smart.
Why pigeonhole yourself into anything now, right? I mean, we don't know where we're going to be when we get to the Stanley Cup Finals, which is probably, what, October? We don't know.
No, you have no idea. But that's what I like. I like the fact that they've created a plan that does have a certain amount of, you know, agility and flexibility. Like, they're giving themselves as much time as they can possibly have, where they can award a Stanley Cup this season, finish this season in the right way, have a legitimate playoffs, so there's no asterisk or anything else, which is ridiculous, and then still have enough time to give, you know, your players the appropriate rest and then start up next season with, I mean, who knows, you know, if there'll be a possibility, but I like my chances of having fans in seats in January as opposed to, you know, trying to start the season when it normally would start in October.
Yeah, I like that idea too. And I think that has to be the focus when you start talking about a return to play for the NHL and for the NBA, is just making sure that what's happened now with this pandemic doesn't affect what happens in the upcoming regular season. And I think you have to lay out your plans accordingly. And it seems like Gary Bettman and the NHL have done that. So from that standpoint, we have to feel good about the direction that they're going in. But I mean, I'm excited that you're going to have this new playoff format, and it seems like you're going to have an opportunity to see teams get knocked off, especially early on. Because, I mean, with everything that's going on, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think of it in these terms, but I mean, this is almost like the NCAA tournament. Like, you feel like anything can happen. And Dave, I know you've mentioned this before. I mean, it's not outside of the norm to see an 8 seed knock off a 1 seed
in the
Stanley Cup playoffs. It happens. But now you're talking about not 16 teams, but 24 teams being involved. So a team that could potentially miss the playoffs actually has an opportunity to win a playoff series in advance. So I just like the fact that you could have disruption in terms of the teams at the top getting knocked off by teams that are at the bottom. I just think that it makes it intriguing looking at the playoff field from that standpoint.
And I don't want to hear anybody complaining. The Carolina Hurricanes, it's awful what they're doing. I mean, they wouldn't vote for this to go through. They're unhappy. They think they're getting hosed by having to take on the Rangers. Give me a break. I mean, you're going to get 24 teams in. You're going to get four teams in each conference. They're going to get, you know, buys, and they're going to have a little round robin. You're going to have a chance. So you know what? If Montreal wins the Stanley Cup and they wouldn't have gotten in, then so be it. I mean, I don't think this is the time for complaining, and I don't think this is a bad way to come back in the NHL anyway. But you're going to hear it. You'll hear it. I mean, you hear rumblings of people or fans that are unhappy. It is the last thing I want to hear right now. I think you focus on the fact that we are inching towards the return of hockey, and that's got to be first and foremost for everyone.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I would understand it. I mean, Tampa voted no. I would understand if, you know, if part of the format was that, you know, those top four teams would also have to, you know, participate. Like, they could be knocked out in the best of five.
But they can't. I would understand if you voted no.
Exactly right. So I could understand that, you know, being a reason why you would have voted no if that was the case, but that's not the case. I mean, you have a team like the Islanders who has 68 games and they're a point out of the playoffs, right? And Columbus has played 70 games and they had 81 points. So, I mean, it was so close. I mean, there were so many teams so close. And, you know, the fact of the matter for us here in New York, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, right, you're going to have your team back for the most part fully healthy. You have Casey back. You'll have Clutter back. I mean, you'll have your team, you know, as close to, you know, healthy as humanly possible. And then if you're a Rangers fan, I mean, you'll have Shesterkin back healthy. You'll have Kreider back healthy. I mean, you got to love your chances, especially with the matchup going against Carolina. So this is, I mean, dude, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be so exciting for hockey fans to get a chance to watch, you know, who knows which team it ends up being. Could it be, you know, could it be the Arizona Coyotes because they got one of the best goalies in the league? You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities here for either a goalie or a team to get hot and make a run.
Now, one arena, right, in each location?
Yeah, one arena in each of the hubs.
You're going to get like, you're going to get a full day. It's going to be like the Olympics. You're going to get a noon game, a 3 o'clock game, a 6 o'clock. I mean, you're going to just all day, you're going to wind up with games, right? Littered from beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get all the hockey you want.
I mean, how good is this?
Well, it's going to be awesome. I think I'm underselling how great this is going to be. This is going to be amazing.
Rick and Dave, I think it's going to be so good that you're going to draw in fans that that wouldn't necessarily tune into hockey. You're going to have sports fans that are not necessarily the biggest on hockey. They're going to tune in. They're going to watch just because it's going to be interesting, and they've been craving live team sports. There's only so far a golf exhibition can take you in terms of satisfying your craving for sports, and I think that if the NHL is indeed able to pull this off and they're able to be one of the first ones back, I think you're going to draw in a lot of other casual sports fans that you might not otherwise have. So I think it's an exciting opportunity for hockey because a lot of people, you know, don't necessarily pay attention to what's going on in the stretch run at the end of the regular season and teams vying for playoff position. But to have an opportunity to turn on the television and see playoff intensity and see how these guys actually get after it, I think that's going to draw in a lot of other fans that hockey might not otherwise have. So that could be a huge win for the sport. There's going to be tremendous value in being one of the first team sports back.
I just think with how they've set this thing up with, you know, guys coming back now, having an opportunity to get back on the ice, skate, and then you'll have the training camp and not get this thing, you know, back ramped up to games until, you know, later in July. Because hockey's one of those sports, as much as you train, as many, you know, miles as you run or the bike rides and everything else, sprints. I mean, once you get skates on, it's a completely different ballgame. You're like, I mean, you can't believe, you thought you were in great shape until you started skating. And then you're like, oh, man, I must not have done enough. This is one of those sports where it takes you a bit to get acclimated. But, I mean, from the guys that I've spoken to, I mean, I just think the level of play with this all-out sprint to try to win a championship,
yep,
with these guys being rested and, I mean, sitting at home for all these months. And this is the longest a lot of these guys have been off the ice ever
since they started skating, I'm sure.
So I think you're going to see fast, you're going to see physical. I mean, you're going to see a real intense brand of hockey. And I'm not at all concerned about not having fans in seats and how that'll affect the product on the ice. Because, I mean, you're playing, this is not just, like Chris, I mean, Chris used the word fugazi. This is not like a fugazi, let's come back, play, you know, let's finish up the regular season. You're not going to see that. You're seeing meaningful series. You're seeing teams best of five, right to it, battling for a Stanley Cup in a sport where, I mean, you've seen it. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, you saw an 8 seed wipe out the best team in the NHL last year. Swept them. So that's in the back of your mind, too, is that, I mean, it's possible. So this is going to be, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be, of the sports coming back, I mean, baseball will come back. It'll be regular season. So, I mean, we all love baseball, but the level of intensity that you're going to see coming out of these NHL games is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and let's be fair. Here in New York, and I don't care what it is. I just whatever they do to bring it back is fine for me. But I think it's the odds of both the Rangers and Islanders getting into the postseason, if we would have finished up the season normally, were very slim. It was going to be very difficult for both those things to happen. So in some way, if we get both teams, which we would if under this, proposed scenario, both teams get in like this, I mean, you have two teams that are involved in the postseason. It'll be so good. I can't tell you how excited I am for the return of hockey.
And you have two teams, Dave, you have two teams that could be a matchup nightmare for whoever they play, just based on the style of play. I mean, the Rangers are young, but they're tremendously talented. And then, of course, with the Islanders, the way that they play that grinded out style, I mean, those are teams that can knock off anybody once we get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think that makes it exciting for the tri-state area. I mean, because you have two teams that are going to be in that might not have made it in under regular circumstances. And so I think that adds a little more sauce to it for us with a little bit of a local flavor. I think seeing those two teams compete on that stage, that's going to be huge, especially what this area has been going through with the pandemic, because we're one of the most hard-hit areas in the country.
Now, here's the question for you, Rick. You dislike the Rangers. Tremendous disdain for the Rangers. Rangers Hurricanes, best of five. Who are you rooting for?
I'm going to root for the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to root for Quinny. I don't like the fact that Carolina's already making excuses, not voting yes on this proposal because they don't like the matchup. Stop. It's not fair for anybody.
You're a good man. See, you get it. It took a while, but you finally got it.
Well, just think about this, though. If both of these teams win the play-ins and now they're playoff teams, what do we get to do on a daily basis?
Talk hockey.
Talk hockey, right? Yeah. Exactly right. Which is what I love.
Especially if it's the first to return. I mean, could you imagine?
But that's what I love, though.
To July 20th, and hockey is the only thing that there is live sports wise.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, just
let's do that baseball thing.
I mean, we'll get into the whole baseball thing. That would be sad for baseball if hockey ends up being the first sport back.
It's sounding more and more like that's going to be the case, though.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I was watching Real Sports with Brian Gumbel last night, and he had the executive directors from all of the players' unions. He had, with the exception of, I'm forgetting, but he had Tony Clark on, he had Michelle Roberts on, and he had Dee Maurice Smith on, and all of them were discussing everything, and they were saying that with basketball and with football, that they are a little less confident that they're going to have that return. And then, of course, we're all also hearing the news out of the baseball world and what's been going on with the proposal that the owners put on the table yesterday. It feels more and more like hockey is getting more of cooperation from the players' union, and that they're actually closer to being able to agree on all fronts to have an actual schedule laid out for a return. With football, the J.C. Treader already said it. The PA hasn't agreed to anything that any proposals that the owners have out there. You know, we know what's going on with basketball. Michelle Roberts says she's less confident today than she was last week in terms of them being able to have a return to basketball. So, I mean, I just, in terms of the overall outlook, it feels like hockey is a lot closer than any of the other team sports.
Well, that's partly due to the fact that we have an awful CBA and the owners have the safety net of the escrow.
But that's a big part of it, though. I mean, for whatever reason, I mean, I get it, with the players, it might not necessarily be the win because you're going to lose money. But I mean, ultimately, this is about trying to have a return to sport and trying to get us to, closer to the normalcy that we're used to having in our country. But also, this is an opportunity for hockey to display what the game is all about, to try to make new fans. And being the first back is going to help you go a long way to doing that.
Yeah, absolutely it would. Of course it would. I mean, we're starved for sports, guys. We're starved for it. We're watching. We're dissecting classic games that we know the results of from 30 years ago. Documentaries are must-listen-to conversation in sports talk radio right now. You're going to give me live playoff hockey, and it's the first sport I'm going to have seen for 4 months? I'm going to have a countdown clock until it starts.
No, it's just good business. I mean, you can, yeah, I mean, you can only control what you can control. And for the players right now in the NHL is we can control getting back, having, you know, NBC on board because they have no summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. So we'll be at the forefront, which is great for us. It's great for, you know, this partnership. Let the owners make whatever money they're going to make because we don't get paid during the playoffs. I mean, there'll be, you know, bonuses for however far you make it. We're still missing one check. They're still trying to figure that out. But you don't know what the future holds. I think that's the one thing for the NHL players. Like, we don't know what next season is going to look like. I mean, the owners will still have, you know, whatever they decide to take out with escrow. But, I mean, let's not leave money on the table now because we're concerned about what's going to happen next year. Let's focus on now, get this season taken care of, make as, you know, much money as humanly possible under the circumstances, and then we'll, you know, we'll address next season when we have to address next season.
See, this is the kind of deep analysis that you're going to get on SportsCenter at like 12:03, 12:05 today with Rick just emerging from a bubble bath in a beautiful suit giving his wisdom on SportsCenter.
But see, that's the one thing that I would suggest to the Players Association with Major League Baseball is give yourself some kind of safety net. Because you don't, I mean, they have no, like, you can't forecast moving forward, like, how much money is actually going to be made or lost by ownership. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, you don't know. You don't, like, they have no idea what the number's going to actually be. So, I mean, to sit there and just say, okay, I'm Mike Trout, you know, rather than making, you know, 30, what is it, close to 37, was it 37 million bucks a year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make seven. Well.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, baseball is wilding for that one. The owners are,
how
the
do
owners
I agree to
are,
that?
The owners are being opportunists, though, Rick. I feel like they're asking a lot from the players in order to guarantee themselves cost certainty, where they already have the mechanism in place to be able to manage, you know, the financial implications of this pandemic. All they have to do is roll with the deferments. Like, they can put those in place, and if they can come to some agreement on that front, I think it makes it more palatable for both sides. But it feels like the baseball owners are intent on ramming this down the players' throat and framing them as the bad guys if they don't accept this deal.
And it feels like it's going to get worse before it gets better. Like, we're,
I mean,
we're
listen,
go through
Garrett Cole's supposed to make $36 million this year. Under the current proposal that the owners have out there, he's going to make $8 million. That's asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you can't have the owners. No, that's your fault. Let's take a break and we'll get into baseball.
Yeah, we'll take a break because we'll really want to tackle baseball appropriately. A couple of lovely tweets coming in. James Brett says, the three of us have just created a Christmas morning level excitement for noon on SportsCenter. And Joey Bag of Donuts with maybe the tweet of the day. So wait, you can't use Bang Bang on the radio, but you want him to pop out of a bathtub at noon on SportsCenter. I'm literally in tears right now. Well, yeah, this is what I'd like. I'd like you to pop out of the bathtub.
Stay
I need
tuned.
Something.
Who knows?
I don't
listen,
know.
Stay tuned.
I'm not even
you
saying that. Like, I understand that popping out of a bathtub, and all of our listeners have to multitask at noon. They have to have you on the television and the show on the radio or on the stream. But I understand if you feel it's you know, crossing the line terribly by bathtub, but something. It can't just be you in front of the generic bookcase with all your hockey awards behind you. Chris, you agree? I need something.
Yeah, he's got to bring a little extra flair, Dave. It just can't be the run-of-the-mill hit on SportsCenter that we're
right.
used to seeing from other analysts. It's got to be out. It's got to be outlandish because that is Rick DiPietro.
I like that word. You determine, Rick, how outlandish. Outlandish is what we do. These trying times, very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. I'm sure, I mean, I know my question will be this for Mike to start it, is the whole Jamal Adams situation. I mean, who better to get the insight from than a former GM who dealt with this kind of stuff continuously in the league, Rick?
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, Adam Gase was his coach
guy.
Down in Miami too.
Yeah,
so he has the perfect insight for this. Yeah.
So I certainly look forward to that. He'll join us in just a couple of moments. And, you know, I feel like the Jets are kind of painted into a corner here, Chris, in that you love him. He's terrific. You don't have to pay him. He's going to demand to get paid and it's going to get ugly. I mean, you know, at some point in the next couple of months, this thing is going to take a turn for the worse and is going to become a he said, she said, is going to become a very ugly situation.
Dave, I don't want to look at it as the Jets being painted into a corner. You have a player that has matched or even exceeded the expectations that you had when you drafted him six overall back in, what, 2017? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that wants to get paid. Jamal Adams is the best safety in pro football. And that was your hope when you took him with a top 10 pick. Now that that guy has realized those expectations that you had placed on him when you drafted him, why wouldn't you want to reward him? What is it about what Jamal Adams brings to the table that make that would make the Jets uneasy about paying him? That's the part of it that I don't understand. To me, this seems like a guy that you would want to get locked into a long-term deal, and the sooner you do it, the better off you're going to be from a financial standpoint. Yeah, it might be a high number right now. He might be the highest paid player at his position right now, but we're seeing it with the Dallas Cowboys. If you do it sooner rather than later, it keeps the team from being at an uglier position once the player starts to get more leverage because he's closer to free agency. So to me, this is a no-brainer. Joe Douglas and Adam Gase should absolutely get this done. And when you couple that with the fact that you have a quarterback that's still on a rookie contract, it just makes sense to pay him now as opposed to waiting.
All right, let's bring him in. Our resident GM, who probably has a large T right in front of him, and that, of course, is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm hydrated and ready to go.
All right. Well, we appreciate it in a couple of minutes as well, as we always do on the, well, typically Tuesday, but this week Wednesday because of the holiday on Monday. All right. Let's get to it. Put your GM hat on. You're running the Jets. The situation is as it is with Jamal Adams, third year, entering fourth year, don't have to pay him, wants to get paid, could get ugly. Advice, and what would you do in the situation right here?
Yeah, you know, I heard Chris there. This one's complicated, guys, because I don't think there's any doubt. He's their best player. He's also done everything right off the field. So from that standpoint, he checks all the boxes. And I would pay him, just to be clear. With that said, the concern is a couple things. One, you know, he does have a couple of years to go, which I candidly dealt with a number of years ago with Darrell Revis, who outplayed his contract and wanted to get paid early. Those become very difficult to get done because the team to go early is going to want a discount. They need a reason to go early. The player wants to get paid at the top of the market. We were able to get the deal done, but boy, it's hard. And then I think the only other issue that you have there is it's the position. You know, safety is not a premium position. And if Jamal Adams does have a weakness, it's, you know, on the back end of the field in coverage. With that said, I think he's a guy that brings energy. I think he checks the box of defining greatness, which is, does he make players around him better? So I think this is a tough one, but ultimately, hopefully, it gets done for both sides.
Mike, in your experience, are you more likely to maybe overpay a player like Jamal Adams if he's your draft pick as opposed to Joe Douglas, who didn't draft Jamal Adams?
I think it's more about whether or not they're drafted by the organization, because I always think it comes back to your ultimately judged by your locker room, by who you pay from a front office standpoint. So when you pay a player, they become your sales and marketing department, and they really say, this is, hey, what we stand for. One of the more difficult decisions in my tenure at the Jets were we traded John Abraham, and in part he had some off-the-field challenges that we just didn't feel was appropriate to reward. And that was a really hard decision, but when we made the decision, we said, look, if we pay him and reward him for some of the challenges that he had and things that had happened, you know, what do we stand for? So even though Joe Douglas inherited Jamal Adams is a great player. He does a lot of great things off the field. So if you're in that locker room every day and you don't pay Jamal Adams, then you start the question, say, like, well, if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? So I think that's really the biggest threshold. But again, I think, Rick, the other challenge is, you know, he's a safety. Eddie Jackson is the highest paid safety. Once you start going north of that, it could start impacting some other decisions you have to make over the next couple of years.
Well, Mike, and I guess that's my big question mark about what the Jets' position is, because, you know, 4 years ago they decided that they were going to draft Jamal with a top 10 pick. I think it was a sixth overall pick. So why, as an organization, would you draft a guy at that position with a premium pick and not want to pay him a premium price when he is, you know, wanting to get rewarded for being the best at his position?
Yeah, I think the only counter to that, Chris, would be is, like, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. And, you know, most recently, Leonard Fournette, Mitchell Trubisky, there's been a couple of mistakes that have been made, you know, high up in the draft, and that becomes, you know, issues in terms of do you even want him on your team? Again, I think the decision was made. He was a great player. We loved him in Miami. I mean, he is a difference-making, great player. You need to account for him on every snap. Again, I think just the challenge is to say, if we pay the safety collectively, you know, Chris Johnson, Adam Gase, we got to get in a room and say, there's something we can't do because we're going to overpay, you know, this position, which is okay because we know he's a rare play and a rare talent. So let's just agree that it's going to come from whatever, the left guard or the second linebacker or whatever it may be. But once you start, you know, adding up the C.J. Mosley's of the world, and now if you pay Adams and you're going to eventually want to have to pay the quarterback, you know, it's going to have to come from somewhere.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you said you'd pay him. If you'd pay him, I mean, you don't want this to get ugly. You don't want this to drag out. I imagine you'd want to, you know, get in a meeting with him and his people quickly and iron this out and get this done in the next couple of weeks, right? Is that what you would do if you were running this thing?
And candidly, that's the easy part, Dave. As soon as it gets done, I'm calling the next five or six guys on the list to say, hey, I just want you to know, like, you're not Jamal Adams. So you want to hold out, we're going to fine you as much as we possibly can, and we're not going to reward this behavior. And that's a huge concern. I mean, look what happened in Dallas. You know, Zeke Elliott had multiple years left on his contract, same situation where, you know, Jamal Adams is right now, and they still don't have their quarterback signed, which is inconceivable to me. So I would just be really careful of understanding, like, get him paid, get him in a room, try to get it done, get the noise down, but make sure that, you know, one mistake doesn't become a runaway train where, you know, everybody that feels like they're underpaid, you know, all they have to do is, you know, make a little noise and then they get compensated.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike T, and I don't want to pick on you, but I'm going to for a quick second, but you know how much I love you. It sounds like such a convenient excuse for general managers to say, well, this is what the position dictates as far as how much we pay you. If I was a player, I'd be pissed off by that. I mean, look at Jamal's production. I mean, he's more than just a safety. I mean, he sacks the quarter. I mean, he's your best, currently your best defensive weapon, period. Like, why? I mean, is it for GMs just a convenient excuse to kind of keep someone like Jamal Adams' price down?
Yeah, those are all fair points. I think he is a productive playmaker. I'm just saying I always try to give the other side as much information as possible, which is, hey, the more of the pie you take, look, the savings doesn't go in my pocket. It's more of an allocation issue. So, you know, there's been a lot of this debate over the last couple of weeks about Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes. And the reality is this, like, there's a cap in the NFL. So from an allocation standpoint, the more of the pie that Jamal Adams gets, someone's going to leave there that is going to be painful. Who's that going to be? And let's just go back to Dallas for a second. They lost a really good player, Byron Jones. Byron Jones is a first-round corner, good player, great kid, and they decided to pay Lyle Collins, Jalen Smith, and Zeke Elliott early. By paying Zeke Elliott early, Byron Jones graduates, and they're not going to be as good a corner this year. That's just the reality of it. So I'm not saying not to pay Jamal Adams, but within the context of what the safety should get paid, you could lose a player over the next couple of years you don't want to lose.
Mike T, late last week, the Jets signed Joe Flacco to be the backup quarterback. Joe talked a little bit yesterday about how he wants to find his way back to being a starting quarterback, but he understands his role as being able to support Sam Darnold. What did you make of the Jets making that signing?
I liked it a lot for both sides. First, from a Jets standpoint, it really solidifies a position they needed to address, which was a real bona fide NFL backup quarter, a guy that could come in and win games. You know, when Joe Flacco steps on the field, you can win with him. I'm not saying he's perfect, certainly at this stage in his career, guys, but you can win with him. He gives you a real competent chance to win. A little bit like what I would say happened in Dallas with Andy Dalton. You know, no one feels like you're going to go out there with Cooper Rush and win games. So I think it checks that box. And candidly, for Joe Flacco, a player I've really admired for years, guys, I was really disappointed in that last press conference when, you know, he came off the field and was questioning the play calling of his offensive coordinator. I didn't think that's who he was or stood for. And hopefully, you know, that won't be our last memory of Joe Flacco, who's been, you know, a very productive first class player for a long time. So hopefully this is a deal that makes sense for everybody.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we talk a lot of Jets with you. We talk Adams, Flacco. Let's look overview of where they are right now and what Joe Douglas has done. Are you a fan of the early results? And obviously we haven't seen it really on the field from Douglas yet as far as production from these guys. But so far and what he's done with the draft and free agency, you like what he's done so far?
Yeah, because and the verb I would use is I think he's attacked the offensive line. When you look at Alex Lewis or Fant, coming back and drafting Becton. I think they had to attack the offensive line. I think when you look at the last 3 to 5 years, it was a position that was just under-resourced. It was under-drafted. It wasn't an emphasis there. And to compete in the AFC East, like, if you don't have a competent, above-average to good NFL offensive line, you don't have a chance. So I really like what he did there. And obviously, to the extent that can make Sam Darnold a better player, it's another year with Adam Gase in his system. But this offensive line should be markedly better than where it's been.
Mike T, we had this conversation yesterday. I'm hoping you can answer this question. So you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Good draft. They had, you know, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. They had Gronk, have a really good defense. And we have our FPI rankings here at SportsCenter, and Tampa is projected to win 9 games. You got New England, who last year won 12. I get it, but you lose Tom Brady, lost some pieces on defense. All we heard was they have no offensive weapons. They all stink. And they're projected to have close to 9 wins. Is that more about how much people trust Bill Belichick? Like, if Bill Belichick had left and Tom Brady was still in the Patriots, would people still have such high expectations for the New England Patriots this season?
I think that's all a referendum on how people assess the other quarterbacks in their respective divisions. And what I mean by that, when you look at Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Teddy Bridgewater, those are, you know, possibly two Hall of Famers, and Bridgewater, when healthy, is obviously a very good NFL starting quarterback. And when you look at the AFC East, you know, Josh Allen, I'm just not a fan of. I think his accuracy is very inconsistent. Sam Darnold, while his arrow may be up, you know, his pro tape has been inconsistent. And in Miami, obviously, their future is all about Tua. And, you know, at some point, I'm sure he'll play this year. And Ryan Fitzpatrick actually played very well. I don't think people realize how good Fitzpatrick played last year. You know, he outplayed Tom Brady over the last 6 games of the season. So I think when we look at the Patriots winning 9 games, I'm not sure it's about Jared Stidham versus Tom Brady in as much as how other people perceive the other parts of the division.
Mike T, there's a proposal on the table for the NFL owners to vote on tomorrow as an alternative to onside kicks. It'll be teams, in effect, getting an untimed down 4th and 15 from their own 25, and if they're able to convert, they would keep possession of the ball. What do you make of that? What are your overall thoughts on that alternative?
Chris, I love it. I don't like it. I love it because I've been in this situation the last couple of years when you're behind by 2 scores, you cut it to 1 score, and literally they tweak the rules without going into the details of the overload. They tweak the rules for the right reasons in terms of the onside kick and player safety, but it became virtually impossible. And when you did recover, it was just complete luck. So there was no skill. So I think all of us as fans of the sport, the four of us were sitting around drinking our soy chai lattes, Rick, and we were looking at games. We would be saying to ourselves that, hey, you know, wouldn't we want to see Sam Darnold have the ball last? Wouldn't we want to see Daniel Jones have the ball last? Can you get the ball at Evan Ingram down the seam here? Can they come back and win the game versus a kicker with a 10% chance of, like, you know, trying to hit a ricochet? So I like it. But, you know, one thing we got to remember, guys, it truly is an all-in play. And here's why. If we're down 3, right, and there's 2 minutes or less and we go for this and we don't get it, the other team – either, you know, they're taking a knee because the game's over, or literally they are in field goal range. So it raises the stakes, but it's I do like it. And I think it just keeps the excitement longer. And ultimately, as fans of the sport, we want the ball in the quarterback's hands.
I like it as well. And Mike Tenenbaum here with us, 98.7 ESPN. The one thing, we brought it up last week, and I don't know what you do about it, but it is a little bit of a concern for me. 4th and 15. Odds are you're not going to get that. But suppose there's that holding. I mean, if you have a normal holding call on the defense, now it's a first down and sets the whole thing up. Do you think that they need to kind of be a little more judicious in when they, you know, throw an automatic first down flag on the 4th and 15, or just normal everyday play?
Yeah, I think that's just a coaching point. I think that's where, you know, you have to instruct your defense that, hey, guys, look, the game's over here. You know, we're going to let them check the ball down. We're going to stay, you know, we're going to play from the sticks back, you know, like 15 yards, and anything caught in front of that, we'll just make the tackle and the game's over. We can't touch them. I think that comes back to, you know, an element of the sport that we're all really proud of, which is it's about discipline and execution. And if you get a handsy with a receiver 7 to 8 yards down the field, like, you're extending the game, and you get, execute better, get coached better. So To me, I think the first play to the last game should be officiated the same way.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, potentially my last question. speaking of rule changes, you mentioned the onside kick. Clearly the NFL had no interest in the, you know, PI challenge. They never even get a chance to work. But now the sky judge. If it was up to you and you had a vote, would you vote yes for having a sky judge?
Boy, you know, Rick, that's a simple question. I think a really complicated answer, because I think the juxtaposition here is we want to get it right. Like, the technology is at a point now where if millions of people are seeing what the right call should be, but the consequential decision makers don't, there's something fundamentally wrong with that. With that said, you know, the unintended consequences is every 5 minutes, the sky judge is stopping the game, and then that becomes, now we're sitting there three and a half hours, and, you know, mm-hmm. some guy up in the box. So I think the fine line is let the coaches have another challenge, which they did last year with the pass interference, for truly game-changing plays. And I think coaches, while it took a while, ultimately adjusted to it. And then let these sky judges, you know, overrule the obvious error. So I think, like most things in life, it's probably somewhere in the middle, but something does need to be done.
Mike, last question for me. Yesterday, Stephen Ross said that it's virtually a certainty that there will be NFL football this fall. But last night on Real Sports, DeMaurice Smith said he would put his confidence level at a 6 or 7 that we're going to have football. You talk to people in these organizations. How confident are they that we're going to be able to have an NFL regular season this year?
Yeah, I think the confidence is very high. With that said, Chris, as awful as this pandemic has been, and obviously, you know, the lives that it's cost and the economic ruin, the one benefit and luxury the NFL has had just from sheer luck has been the timing of it. You know, we have this incredible end of the season of Kansas City in epic fashion beating San Francisco. And since then, we've had the benefit in the NFL of time. So we got through the draft, which I thought the commissioner did a great job of, and now we have the benefit of seeing what does the NBA do? What does MLB do? What does the NHL do? And there'll be a lot of learnings. And candidly, when you speak to people around the league, while everyone hopes and expects there'll be games, what we think it may be here at the end of May could be totally different in August. And I think the one thing we keep forgetting, and I think maybe most importantly, guys, is that the Super Bowl can be played in Tampa Bay literally like a month later than it's scheduled. So we could conceivably have a 14-game season start October 1st, maybe with no Pro Bowl and no byes. So I do think we'll have football, Chris. It may be a little bit different than usual, but I think of all the four sports, the NFL feels really fortunate to know that they'll get to learn from the other three.
Now, Mike, Rick said it was potentially his last question. Rick, was it in fact your final question, or do you have another?
No, I didn't lie. This isn't going to be a question. This is going to be a statement. This is a rare opportunity, because I know how fired up Mike T's got all sorts of, you know, former NHL player friends down there in his beautiful community. He lives down in Florida. Mike, I'm going to give you a one-time opportunity, because I know how excited you are for the NHL's return, to jump on the New York Islanders bandwagon and become an official member of the Islanders fan club. You in?
Think wisely here, Mike.
I don't think I can between, you know, Jovanovski Jose Theodore. It's going to be hard for me to do that. You know, I'm sorry, Rick, but you know, Canadians, Panthers. I just don't think I could go there.
This is it though. This is mano a mano. Islanders, Panthers, first round, head to head, me versus you.
Here we go. Maybe like for, you know, a year's worth of chai lattes.
Oh, done.
That's
done.
A lot of money. Come on. That's big stakes.
Done. I'll take it. Done.
Now, Mike, let me just inform you this. You probably don't know this. You have nothing going on today, right? I mean, everyone's locked in.
That's a little bit disrespectful.
That's a disrespectful assumption. No, but nobody has a lot going on. At noon today, on SportsCenter, your dear friend, Rick DiPietro, will be a live guest on SportsCenter at noon today, which I know excites you greatly, yes?
Yeah, in the words of Bart Scott, can't wait.
Now, you're a man who's on the shows on First Take, on Get Up, on SportsCenter all the time, NFL Insider all the time. Here's what we've proposed to Rick, and I think we're moving in this direction, so I'd like you to just give us the nudge as well here. We want, as they go to him in his home on Long Island, pops out of the bathtub, puts his earpiece in, starts answering questions. You love it. Look, you can't even contain yourself. You love it, don't you?
Well, if he did do that, Dave, it would be truly one and done, and we don't want that. We want encore appearances.
See, he recognizes that would be the last dance. That would be it. That would be they probably cut it.
I mean, it would be they'd have to bring him back, Mike. It would be social media. I mean, a bonanza for him.
Yeah, that would be the least of his worries. Would be the social media aspect of it. So.
All right, I don't feel like you've helped at all, but I do love you. I hope you and your family are safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and maybe we could critique Rick's debut here.
I think we will. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. That, of course, Mike Tamayo. I got to be honest. I don't think you're getting great advice from some of these people.
I got a big bet. I mean, let's not bury the lead. That's a big bet. Year's worth of soy chai lattes.
Well, what are we looking at?
That's a lot.
$400 or $500, no?
Well, yeah, he goes venti. I mean, he goes the biggest you can get.
Right.
So, yeah, this could be expensive.
Which
be pricey.
Is what, like $8?
Yeah, because he's got the soy milk. Yeah, he's very particular. He's kind of bougie with his latte. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pricey latte.
So likes $8, it at a certain temperature. 50 weeks. Say we take away a few weeks for vacation and he's not in studio. So you're looking at, say, 40 weeks times 8. So you're looking at a good $300. That's a big wager.
Yeah, this is substantial. I'm looking forward to this now. I mean, I'm already dialed in, but now all of a sudden, first round of this play-in, me versus Tannenbaum.
Oh, yep.
Doesn't get much better.
No. Look at him. I imagine
name dropping too.
Very,
yeah. Oh, I got Ed Jovanovski and I got Jose Theodore. It's unbelievable, this guy.
These are
good
his
advice
friends.
By him though. I'm getting a lot of text messages that me popping out of the bathtub is not a great career choice.
You need to do something. There's no way I cannot, Chris. Come on, defend me here. I can't deal with just the garden variety. Hi, I'm here in my living room with the bookcase and your awards behind you. Put a pipe in then. Smoke a pipe cross your legs and smoke a pipe like it's reading.
What kind of guy? Why do you assume that I have a pipe just hanging around?
That's a great question.
You have a big, beautiful pipe.
I don't have a pipe. Don't have a big, beautiful pipe.
You have a pipe.
I do not have a pipe. Why would I have a pipe? I mean, I do have a pipe, but I do not have a smoking
yes.
pipe. Like, I have no, there is no pipe.
So I need something. I need something.
With a monocle? I pop up with a pipe and a monocle on? No. I'm not the Planters
He's
peanut
the Planters
guy.
Peanut guy.
I didn't assume you had a monocle.
There's a better chance that I have a monocle, actually, than I do a pipe.
I don't want it to be the... Rick, I'm with Dave in that I don't want it to be the run-of-the-mill, mundane... hit on SportsCenter. I think you got to do something to add a little sauce to it, but I'm going to stop short of you having to have a pipe. Like, I don't think that's necessary.
All right, how about this? You have a goalie helmet on. After the first question is posed to you, you take it off and then you just get right into routine.
Yeah,
I
but here's
go
the thing.
For that.
Okay, I like your ideas. These are all great ideas. Here's the thing, though. This is the SportsCenter vehicle. This is not. This is more buttoned up. Like, you go on SportsCenter, you're supposed to wear, like, I'm going to wear a jacket and tie. Like, if I'm going on Get Up, that's more relaxed. Like, there are other, even SVP would probably be more relaxed than the new.
See, I disagree with you, Rico. I think the fact that it is one of those buttoned up vehicles makes it a little more spicy if you decide that you're going to do something to the effect of putting your helmet on, just saying how excited you are for the return of hockey.
Yeah.
I think that would be brilliant. You have the sport coat, you have the shirt and tie, and then you have your helmet on.
Yeah, you say, look, I haven't taken this off since the press conference yesterday at 4:30, but I'll do it for you here, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I prefer the tub more than the helmet, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
You're going to do generic. You're the most non-generic guy I know, and you're just going to do the generic, normal SportsCenter hit.
Most likely, yeah. I don't feel like I have great options. I don't. I mean, had I been like, had like in my back pocket, I had like, you know, the LIU coaching job just sitting there waiting for me to say yes or no.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Then I wouldn't. I mean, I could do it nude and not worry about the repercussions. Cause I could just say, you know what? This was fun. Last dance. I'm done. Off to coach. I don't necessarily think I have that option currently.
You could be like Paul Newman and Slapshot and just start disrobing as the interview progresses along.
That wasn't Paul Newman that did that. That was Ned Braden that did that. The other one when they did the fashion show. Now I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to wiggle it. That would definitely
get me fired. I need something.
I'm thinking. I'm trying to come up with something.
We're running out of time. You go on in 30 minutes.
I get it. I know.
You nervous?
I like
at
the
all?
Tub idea. Am I nervous?
Yeah, I know you tend to get a little nervous with these things.
I do get nervous. I get myself all amped up. I mean, I've been, like, from the time I found out, I'm going through all sorts of information and everything else. And then I got the list of the questions, and it's going to legitimately take, I'm saying over under 2 minutes.
3 minutes?
No, not even. 2 minutes. I think it's going to be two questions.
Two questions?
Two questions,
What could you be studying? What did you think they're going to ask you on SportsCenter?
I want to be ready for anything. So no matter what they throw at me, I can answer it. But I mean, I got the questions. I probably shouldn't have been as nervous as I was. This is why, Dave, this is why I was mentally a wreck during the season.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Can you imagine?
It makes sense.
I'd be going through everything, driving yourself crazy
for a 2-question hit on SportsCenter.
Yeah, so imagine, like, from the time I wake up,
right,
pregame skate, and then until 7 o'clock at night, how much garbage is going through my head. It's ridiculous. It was exhausting.
800-919-3776. We're half an hour away from Rick's SportsCenter appearance. All right, he's on. Let's go live. SportsCenter, Randy Scott, and our own Rick DiPietro.
Conditioning straight, and James Van Riemsdyk told John Buchecross he hasn't skated in 10 weeks. What are the physical challenges now for players to be ready for a possible return?
Yeah, that's the amazing part, Randy, is most guys, since they learned to skate, haven't been off the ice for this amount of time. Hockey's one of those sports, no matter how much you run, no matter how much you bike, the second you get back on the ice, it's completely different. I mean, imagine the movie Miracle when Mike Arruzzioni takes off his helmet and says, Mike Arruzzioni, Winthrop, Massachusetts. Like, that's how you're going to feel for the first couple of weeks back on the ice. But I love what the NHL is doing with their time frame, giving the players as much time as possible to get back into game shape, knowing that they're going to step right into playoff atmospheres. I mean, the best out of five. If you're a hockey fan, you know, get ready, because you're going to have a bunch of guys that are chomping at the bit, that are in great shape. You're going to have teams that are, for the most part, fully healthy. So this is lining up to be every hockey fan's dream come true, that you're going to get this kind of hockey when we've been desperately needed some live sports.
Yeah, you know, okay, so this is what the plan would look like for the playoffs. Now that you mentioned it, it's going to be a 24-team field instead of the usual 16. Four teams in each conference end up with a bye in the qualifying round. That's the Blues, Avs, the Golden Knights, and the Stars in the West. In the East, it's the Bruins, Lightning, the 2018 Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals, and the Flyers in the Eastern Conference. Now, those teams would then play separate round-robin tournaments to determine seeding in the first round. As for the other 16, they play a best-of-five play-in series. What do you think of that playoff plan there, Rick?
I really like it. I mean, when you looked at where the standings were when, you know, the season was halted, there were teams, and again, I was, you know, former Islander, so I'm kind of biased, but, you know, two games in hand and only a point behind. So there are teams that were really close. You know, the other thing I think you need to take into account too is that you are missing out revenue wise on some regular season games. So this gives you the opportunity to have more games in a playoff like atmosphere, some really good matchups. And I also think the opportunity to have NBC on board with no Summer Olympics to put on television gives the NHL a perfect opportunity to be kind of on the forefront, where you're going to get a chance to see, you know, the NHL elite at their best, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, start to, you know, get some more of the fringe fans, you know, more involved, and maybe create some, you know, NHL fans for life here.
Yeah, I mean, Commissioner Gary Bettman also said, as for the regular season in 2020-2021, the plan is 82 games. Rick DiPietro, now get back to the radio show. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Randy.
And there we have it. He says, get back to the radio show, and here is the radio show. So overall, Chris, I mean, information great, content sensational. We knew it would be. A little underwhelmed with the performance, though.
You're underwhelmed. Okay.
I mean, we talked all morning about him popping out of a tub or having a monocle or a pipe or something. And he just looked like normal, terrific Rick. So
he looked like normal, terrific Rick, but I think he allowed the suit tie combination to be the spice form. That was pretty spicy, Dave.
It was spicy.
A gray suit with a blue window pane and a blue tie. Ugh.
It looked terrific.
That's pretty nice right there now.
It looked terrific. He did great.
Yeah.
I had no doubt that he was going to do well. I had no doubt. I mean, we talked about, you know, the return of hockey for the first 25 minutes of our show, so I knew the content was going to be good. I wasn't concerned about that. You know what I love about him? How he gets himself crazy. Like he said, he was studying all sorts of stuff. In his three-question hit on SportsCenter, what did he expect them to ask him?
Well, Dave, he just wanted to be prepared for anything, right? You never know if somebody throws something out that could be something that you haven't thought of, something that you haven't talked about. I mean, you want to be prepared. You want to be able to formulate your opinion on the fly. And being able to have all of that information retained is going to give you an opportunity to do that. So I guess that's where he's coming from with his studying. But, I mean, Rick is always prepared. That's the least of my worries when it comes to him doing a radio show or doing hits on television. He's always prepared.
He did well. We knew he'd do well. He did well. We just were hoping for maybe a little more drama, right? It was good. It was solid. It was good. He looked good. It was all well done.
He looked phenomenal, Dave. The wardrobe, the hair, he looked great.
It was nice to see him. I haven't seen him for a very long time.
You and me both. Right, actually, I mean, you almost forget what he looks like a little bit. It's like, that's what Rick looks like.
Yeah. His eyebrows looked wonderful, by the way.
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah, I'm the exact opposite of what Rick looked like on television. Like, my beard is going crazy. My hair is going crazy. I got that Eddie Murphy half-ro thing going. Like, when he was in Beverly Hills Cop, that's what my head looks like, and I look strange like that. So
if they asked you, if they called you up and said, look, NFL plans in place, Chris, we'd like you to go on SportsCenter tomorrow at noon, what would happen? Would you
say, I
can't do it.
I couldn't do it. I'd be an embarrassment to the show, an embarrassment to my family. There's no way I could do it. I would have to, like, in order to do a hit on SportsCenter, I would have to fly back to the tri-state area, go see my barber, before I was able to do a hit. That's how crazy I look like right now.
And you don't want to pull a Roethlisberger when the governor calls you out of something you're not supposed to be doing.
Exactly. I don't want to be that guy, Dave. Not that guy.
Yeah, no, I understand. So John O'Loughlin on Twitter, just Z's, disgusted by DiPietro. Steven Screws says, because we were hoping for more. Steven Screws says, great SportsCenter take by Rick. I feel you needed a bit more lighting, but great info. Regardless, a lot of tweets rolling in. You can tweet us at Rothenberg ESPN, and I'll divvy them to the appropriate parties. All right, 800-919-3776. So, I mean, if he ever makes it back, we can get into Cuddle, Marry, Trash. We still have to get into observations. There's a lot for us to do. We started the show, and let's kind of pick it up where Rick left off on television. And it's exciting, Chris, and that is the proposition that hockey is going to be back in the not-so-distant future. We don't have an exact timing yet. But yesterday leads us to believe that we're moving down that path. We know the plan in place. The players have agreed to it. And now it's about the safety of the players, picking a couple cities to get it done. But here we are. I mean, it sounds like there's a chance mid to late July that the return of the NHL is here for all of us to enjoy.
Yeah, and to your point, Dave, we don't have an exact date, but we do have an idea of the timeline. They've already got players in the facilities. They're recalling players. I think that something like 17% of NHL players were outside of North America. So you're going to start to call those international guys back, and you're going to ramp things up and get guys acclimated to playing hockey again so they can be prepared to play in a playoff style format in the latter half of July going into August. So I'm excited about it. I think that it's interesting in terms of the actual format, allowing 24 teams as opposed to 16 teams.
Yep.
And having the top 8 teams have a round robin for the top overall seeds and then a qualifying round for the other 16 teams. I think that's really interesting. You've brought it up several times before about how hockey is just one of those sports where you can have an upset in the first round. And case in point would be the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. Like, you just never know what you're going to get. And now you have teams that would have been on the outside looking into the postseason actually factoring into the postseason equation. And I think you could have an NCAA tournament, March Madness kind of feel. And I'm really excited about that. I mean, to be able to see playoff style hockey, the overall intensity, the physicality, and then being able to have that number of teams participate, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about seeing it.
And it's smart, too. It's smart by the commissioner because he realizes baseball is a train wreck right now.
Yep.
Basketball, we don't know where we're at. People are losing their minds over a golf exhibition on Memorial Day weekend. They're losing their minds over a documentary about Michael Jordan in 10 parts from really 25 years ago, Chris. If I'm back and I have playoff hockey, which is great to begin with, on major networks and the country's not back to normal, so you're still in some capacity locked away a little bit, and I'm giving you nonstop all day long hockey game after hockey game, the potential for the win in the NHL is tremendous here right now.
No, it would be a huge win, Dave. If NHL is the first team sport that's back, you're going to have more visibility as a sport. You're going to have eyeballs that you otherwise wouldn't. And you have to be able to take advantage of that. And the fact that you are jumping straight into the playoffs means you're going to see the best of the best. You're going to see the best teams. You're going to see the best players. And I think that gives you an opportunity to sell your game, to show what you're all about to a lot of sports fans that otherwise wouldn't tune in. So I think this is a tremendous opportunity for Gary Bettman and the sport of hockey. They just have to be ready to capitalize on it. And based on the things that we're hearing now, it feels like they're going to be the ones that are the first back just because they have the most cooperation between the players and the NHL owners. It just feels like they're going to be the ones that are the first back.
All right, let's bring him in. I mean, he's the star of the show now, doing a big hit on SportsCenter. That, of course, is our very one and only Rick DiPietro. Well done, my friend. Very well done.
Yeah, average. Average at best.
What do you mean?
Nah, because you had me all worked up. I wanted to do something funny, and then all of a sudden, can't. Whatever. It is what it is.
What do you mean it is what it is?
It is what it is. It was all right.
Your eyebrows look terrific, by the way. Have you been working on them?
No, I haven't worked on the eyebrows. I had to shave.
Eyebrows are great.
I mean, the face. I wish I kept the mustache. I mean, I like the mustache, to be honest. Feel naked without it now.
You just shave it this morning? When did it go?
I shaved it last night, too. This took quite a bit of time. Yeah, so that was last night.
Sure. You trimmed it down and then did the shave, right? It wasn't like a full mustache shave.
No, trimmer. I had to buzz it. Had to buzz the face, the neck. Cassie had to trim up my neck hair was like connected to the beard. Mm-hmm. So we had to separate that and then, try not to clog a sink and a drain and everything else. But
look good. Outfit. Chris was wowed with the outfit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the shirt, tie, suit combination.
That's
blue
the
window panes
tie.
On the gray shirt, on the gray suit. I thought that was extra spicy, bro.
That's the Portland hockey tie right there. Little shout out to my Portland guys.
Nicely done.
We didn't get a shout out on SportsCenter, but they do. Yeah.
We mentioned that I was on the radio. I mean, that's a
well, you could be on with anybody.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. You don't have enough time. Like, I mean, you guys couldn't hear it, but they brought up, like, to start the show, Briscoe brought up a Paula Abdul reference. So I was going to sprinkle in a Paula Abdul reference, but I went after passing in Woj. So that it wasn't topical. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
I got you.
I got it. And we mentioned this on the air. I was worried because I didn't know that they were going to lead off with two, I mean, stars, right?
Oh, brutal.
And Woj are Mount Rushmore of insiders in their sport. So we were a little concerned that you would be like the third wheel, but I didn't feel like that. Like I felt like, and you know, they had the beautiful cameras in their homes, but I didn't feel like that. I felt like you were right on par with them. I thought you did well. I would have preferred it in the bathtub. I'm not going to lie to you, but I thought you did well.
Well, I actually mentioned that. So the reason why I left is because they had called. I mean, they had FaceTimed me early just to make sure everything was set up and was having a hard time because they wanted me in the panoramic mode. And I have no idea. I have no idea how to use a computer. So we had to figure that out. They had to bring in technical support. But I actually said to them, I said, you know, do you think it's a good idea, you know, if I do something funny, maybe like a goalie mask or like, you know, the bathtub? And they're like, nah, I don't think that's a great idea.
You don't ask. You know that. You just do.
Well, you don't ask, but then, I mean, I could only imagine. I mean, here's the thing though, Dave. What concerns me the most is because there's really nothing on television, there's really nothing to keep the people in charge occupied otherwise. Like sometimes because there's a lot going on, they're
right.
Busy.
This was very well received, right? I'm sure this was seen by all parties at ESPN, yes.
Yeah, like you can't sneak, like I'm not sneaking anything in here. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm. I would have the prop.
And I don't have that kind of, I don't have like
the
Marty Smith
prop, you know, would have been great.
Oh, no. Yeah. We don't. Yeah. That's all we would have needed. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me put that back.
Yeah. Milo, get this out of here.
Cassie.
Oh, boy. All right. So I know you're all juiced up. You just did a hit on national television sports and you're outstanding. You want to do CMT? You need a break and then we do it?
Let's do a quick CMT and then we'll take a break.
All right. Floor is yours.
All right, so I know you loved yesterday, so we're going to continue with yesterday. All right, we're going to hit the outfield today. I gave you catcher through third yesterday. We're going to go with outfield today with a little, and actually, you're going to like this. I got some new sound, too, for Cuddle, so just take that into account. when making this decision.
I felt like with you throwing all three down at one time, that Santiago was overwhelmed with what sound to play and when to play it.
Well, sometimes you guys don't give him enough time. Like, you should state what it is so he can play the sounder.
And then give him a brief stoppage so he can play it?
Exactly right.
Okay.
And let him kind of, you know, do his job.
All right, we got to be better as well. Chris, we'll do that. Go ahead.
Okay. That works for me.
Well, this is. I mean, he's rested and everything else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's ready to give you his best. Here we go.
I know he is.
We're gonna start in the outfield with left field. Mm-hmm. Cuddle, marry, trash. I'm gonna give you Juan Soto.
Ooh.
Dom Smith.
Stop
I'm just kidding.
It.
I'm just
on.
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Juan Soto, Andrew Benintendi, ooh, and Giancarlo Stanton.
All right. You want me to start here, Chris? I'm ready to roll.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to marry Juan Soto.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
As painful as that is, I mean, he's what, just 20 years old? He's a World Series champion. He played his best in the biggest stage. So that to me is somewhat easy. I'm going to marry Juan Soto. Now it becomes difficult. Because I think the upside of Stanton is better than the upside of Benintendi, but Stanton gets me worried. And I don't like the Yankees. So I'm gonna cuddle right into Benintendi, the Red Sox, and I'm gonna make him my cuddle partner here for this exercise.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Dave, I don't like what Rick DiPietro is doing to me right now.
Oh, that's so good. That was funny. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I don't like what Rick is doing to me right now.
Yeah, he's putting you in a spot where you have to choose to trash Stanton.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. That's exactly
that's what I'm going to do.
This entire exercise is for me to do that to a Yankees player.
That's right. Well, let me take the bait. Let me take the bait. Let me trash Giancarlo Stanton for multiple reasons. Firstly,
look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Firstly, he could be third on that list. At best case, he's cuddle option for me. And secondly, he makes a ton of money. Am I going to factor that in? Well, you know what? For this exercise, I will. So I will trash Stanton. I will cuddle Benintendi. I will marry Juan Soto.
Well, just the fact that Benintendi is a Red Sox is more than enough reason that I have to throw him in the trash. So I'm going to trash him. I'm going to marry Soto, and I'm going to cuddle Stanton. I'm not going to give Rick the satisfaction of doing it.
Okay. That's fine. You do it when you deem necessary.
Okay, but this is what happens. I put Dave's integrity to the test yesterday, and he passed. And now Canty, you know, given the same opportunity, I'm just saying, he buckled a little bit. He folded.
Well, you know where my loyalties lied. I trashed Altuve yesterday.
See, I just thought that was because he could actually fit in the trash.
He more plays this game with his heart.
He's heart first, which is fine. Listen, I mean, how you choose to play CMT is up to you.
That's right.
Okay.
Is there a board game that you envision coming out at any point?
I would imagine that's the next step with CMT. Yeah. I mean, because there's so many different, you know, fun things we could do with this game, especially when we're not being, you know, told what to do and how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
The home version could be a little dicier.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is like, you know, Cards Against Humanity kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could get real creative with this.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's make our way into center field.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some real, real tough decisions to make. I'm going to give you the obvious choice. Again, Dave, but you're smart because you're taking money into account as well. I'm going to give you Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you Cody Bellinger. And I'm going to give you Ronald Acuña Matata.
Oh. Wow.
This is a tough one.
All right, so Bellinger is traditionally a center fielder?
I thought he was a corner outfielder.
Yeah, I thought he was a right fielder, first baseman. But okay, I'll play your game.
That's how versatile he is.
He really is.
That's what I'm saying.
He really, really is. All right, Chris, you want to take the lead on this one? I'm going to need a few moments.
Yeah, I mean, I have to marry Mike Trout. He's the best player in the sport. And then I know this is going to sound crazy, Dave, but I'm rolling with the cuddle for Ronald Acuña Jr., and I am going to trash Cody Bellinger.
Look at this garbage! Yeah.
And Bellinger led all.
He's the MVP.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's why this is so tough. What were you going to do? You said cuddle Acuña?
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Yeah, I'm going to cuddle Acuña. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. All right. This is really difficult.
This is not easy.
No, this is a see, because how much am I, and I guess this is up to myself, and you can do this with the home game as well. How much do I take into account finances? Acuna's team friendly. I mean, I can afford other great players on my team if I marry Acuna. I'm going to do that. I'm going to marry Ronald Acuna.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm not saying he's a better player than Mike Trout, but to get the value of what does Acuna make? He just signed a deal. He doesn't make anywhere near what Trout's making.
Didn't he sign I
think it's 8 years, $100 million.
Yeah, something like that. It was $100 million.
For 8 years?
8 years, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to marry that. I mean, he's making a third of what Mike Trout's making. And he's locked in forever. So I'm going to marry Acuna.
Hasn't even reached his potential yet either.
No. I mean, he could have gone 40-40 last year. I'm going to marry Acuna. I'm going to cuddle Trout.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And this is unfair, but I'm gonna trash Cody Bellinger.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, here we go, fellas. We're gonna finish this CMT off and really put Chris Candy to the test with right field.
Yes.
I'm gonna give you one Aaron Judge, mm-hmm. obviously. And this is where I'm gonna put Chris in a real tough spot.
I love it.
I'm gonna give you Christian Yelich. And I'm also going to give you Mookie Betts.
Mm.
What are we doing?
I'll start, Chris, unless you'd like to start.
All right, I'll start this one off. Okay. I'm going to, and now that he's no longer with the Red Sox, I feel more comfortable doing this. I'm going to marry Mookie Betts.
Mm. If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, I think Mookie Betts is one of the best players in the sport. And with his availability, everything that he brings to the table, not only offensively but defensively, I just feel like he's the guy that I want to hitch my wagon to long term. As far as the cuddle, Dave mentioned it before. I play this game with my heart, not my head. I'm going to cuddle Aaron Judge. I just love what he brings to the table in terms of his ability, his defense, run the bases. He puts together really good at bats. The only question is whether or not he's going to be healthy. And, that's becoming more and more of a concern, but he is one of my favorite players. And so I'm going to cuddle him. And this is very uncomfortable, but I'm going to trash Christian Yelich.
Oh my garbage. Look at this garbage.
All right. I do feel that Chris plays this game with his head a little bit too much. And I'm not going to do that. Now,
His heart. Too much with his heart.
With his heart, yes. It is not easy to trash Aaron Judge, but I got to be honest. I mean, health is a main factor of this game, and the home version it's even a bigger factor. I'm gonna trash Aaron Judge because
firmly garbage. Look at this garbage.
He's never healthy at this point, and it's a concern. And the rib is a concern. And if they come back for baseball, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. And he wasn't healthy last year, so. If you told me they were all at 100% health, I might marry Judge. But knowing that he rarely, if ever, is 100% healthy, I'm going to trash him. I'm going to cuddle Mookie Betts. He's terrific. I'm going to cuddle Mookie Betts.
Hellacious seeds.
Just to hear that. And, I think that if I'm having a Mount Rushmore Major League Baseball, that Christian Yelich is there. He is great. I mean, he's a 330 hitter. He's going to give you 40 and 110. He gave you 44, 97, and hit 330 last year and missed 30 games with, I think, a knee injury. So
he probably would have won the MVP if he didn't get hurt.
He's unbelievable. He could have gone 55 and 120 if he didn't get hurt down the end of the season. The year before, when he played 147 games, he went 326, 36, and 110. And he steals bases. I think he stole 30 bases last year as well. So I'm gonna marry Christian Yelich.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
And there you have it.
And not to mention, too, Dave, because you love team-friendly deals. I mean, Yelich did just sign a pretty team-friendly 70-year deal.
Very.
Got him locked up till he's 37.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep. All right, so there you go. Beautiful addition.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.